So gur is the first form of sugar after the sugarcane.
Yes.
So it's completely unprocessed, and that's an organic sugar. So the organic sugar in India, it's called gur or shakkar, which is the Indian Punjabi name for it. So that's the pure stuff. And ideally, when you have any of the Indian teas, especially the masala teas, instead of sugar, that's what you put.
Oh, I see.
It really enhances the flavor.
Yeah, I saw it says molasses on there.
So. Yes, yeah. So it's first form after you start processing the sugarcane.
Okay.
So that's just powdered jaggery. Some people like a block of jaggery. They like to use it in cooking.
Did you cut this with a knife?
Yeah, you just cut it with a knife. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, as much as you want.
Yeah.
And it never spoils, so keep it forever. So the jaggery block is used more for cooking, and the sugar is used more for, you know, with tea or sometimes with yogurt. Some people like to mix it with yogurt.
Oh.
Really depends.
Your name was?
Rajula Gupta.
And you're the owner of?
Foods of India.
Foods of India.
Yes.
And you opened just?
15th of November.
What made you decide to come to Seminar?
I wear another hat. I'm a licensed recruiter for foreign workers. So I have a number of clients in Salman Arm who I source workers for, especially hospitality, construction. So I've been coming here for the last year or so. And after living 20 years in Burnaby, I quite, you know, fell in love with this place. And I noticed that there was a great interest in Indian food in the community, but there was no Indian store. And I thought this was a great opportunity, you know, to open a nice small Indian store.
I heard people talking about this store opening. They're quite excited.
Right. Yeah, they have been. I mean, the community has been fantastic. You know, they've come, they've loved, you know, the mix that I offer, and they're very happy that I'm here. So, yeah, it's been a good opening for sure.
Business has been fairly good then.
Yeah, it's been steady, I would say. So, you know, on an average, we get maybe 20 customers every day. And they're buying, you know, assortment of things. I've tried to offer a variety. So I would say it's steady, but I think it's still too early because, you know, when it comes, I opened November 15th. And there's this whole Christmas rush.
Yes.
And a lot of people actually bought things to put as stocking stuffers. So it doesn't really give you the correct picture in terms of, you know, how the sales are. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out the product mix and, you know, what works, what doesn't work. But hopefully from this month onwards, I'd get a more clearer picture because people who like the food keep coming back for it, and sort of that'll give us a better idea.
Have you had a store selling food before, or is this your first?
No, I mean, I've been an entrepreneur all my life. I've had a chain of cafes, toy stores, but food first time.
You have a huge variety of stuff in here, everything from spices to spice mixes and yogurt, sugar, and a lot of. Yeah, are they frozen or just...
Yeah, so they're frozen, ready-to-eat treats from, you know, different parts of India. So I've tried to represent the whole of India. I mean, India is 27 states. Every state has different cuisine. You know, it's very diverse. In the restaurants here, you typically only get food from North India, per se. You know, you don't really get to taste the whole of what India has to offer. So that's what I've tried to do, is to bring foods from all over. So, you know, one of our most popular sections is the Gits ready to eat. You know, food is already pre-cooked in a pouch. You just take it home and heat it. And I've got like 15 varieties of dishes for people to try. And it's the most inexpensive way to try an Indian curry or an Indian lentil or an Indian cottage cheese dish. It's only $6 serves two. So it's really inexpensive and it's been very, very popular. That's, you know, something new. Then same thing I've tried to do in the frozen treats. A lot of items from across India, from South India, there's the rice and lentil cake. There's the potato dumpling from Western India. There's the momos or dumplings that you call from Eastern India. So I've tried to represent the whole country and, you know, bring in things.
My brother worked in Bangalore
for
several months.
Right. So the Bangalore is typically South India, so they eat a lot of rice-based product. So like idlis, like dosas, which are the Indian crepes, and they, you know, have it with a version of lentil called sambar. So, you know, we carry all those products here for people to try.
Do you get customers that haven't experienced this food and want to try it?
Yeah, so amazingly, the community is very well aware of Indian food. I was quite surprised. I would say almost 30% of my customer base has already traveled to India. And another, you know, at least 30 to 40%, they love cooking Indian food at home. So they come looking for all the spices. That's why I have such a huge spice wall. And then I have spice boxes for, you know, individual dishes that they might want to cook at home. So the community is very well aware. And that's one of the reasons they keep coming back. Because they say, finally, we can find everything here. We don't have to go to Vancouver or Kelowna for that matter. So,
somebody that has not ever cooked Indian food and wanted to try it,
yes,
and came in, how would you?
So the first step would be, I would always say, try the Gits Ready to Eat. Because there are all more than 15 varieties that they can try, and that gives them their first taste of cooked Indian food, and then they can determine, you know, what they like, don't like. So that would be the first step. The second step would be, we have sauce bases, so they can just saute, you know, their meat or their vegetables and just add the sauce to it. So that would be step two. Step three would be, they want to cook, but they're not aware of all the spices. So we have spice boxes for them to, you know, try. And each spice box has a recipe on the side. And then, of course, there's, you know, the scratch cook, as I call it, which will, you know, take all the spices, ground them, and then, you know, cook the dish from scratch. So I'm trying to cater to all levels of the Indian food enthusiasts. So, yes.
There are different degrees of heat.
Yes.
Is your product marked so that people know when they pick something up, they're not...
Yeah, so the Gits Ready to Eat is marked for mild and medium. We don't have the hot and spicy here. And I always suggest that even with the medium stuff, they should taste a little bit. If they find it's too much for them, always suggest to add some, you know, yogurt or cream or some ghee or clarified butter to temper the spice down. And that does the trick. For the other products where they want to cook, I always say you can follow the recipe, but try with half the spice recommended, because these are coming from India, so they're at Indian spice levels. So I always say try with half the spice, and then you can always add depending upon how you like it.
That is, I think, a slight misconception for people who don't know that when you have a hot meal, don't drink water, drink milk.
Yeah, so actually, here's the interesting part. It's not even milk. So Indian food traditionally has always been served with yogurt as an accompaniment. It's either in the form of plain yogurt or in the form of raita, as they call it, which is basically yogurt mixed with a little bit of spice, you know, just to enhance the flavor. Or sometimes even yogurt served with finely chopped onions or finely chopped cucumber. The whole idea is that Indian spice is very concentrated, so you want to temper it down in your digestive system, and yogurt is the best thing to temper down the spice.
You've moved here now.
Yes.
From Burnaby.
Correct.
With your family or just you?
Well, I'm here for now because my wife works for the Provincial Health Authority in Women's Hospital. So she is looking for, you know, an opportunity to move here. So it's a slow process, but I'm here by myself to begin with. So.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay.
You travel back and forth a fair bit?
Ideally, I try to go once every few weeks. But, you know, it's winter now, so the travel is less frequent. In the summer, one is able to do it much more easily. I have an electric car, so it's much easier to go and come back. Yeah, I just came back last night, and yesterday it was snowing, so I took the canyon, Fraser Canyon route. I actually like it better. I know it takes longer, but it's spectacular to look at.
You
know?
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, people just zip across the Kokala, but, you know, beautiful British Columbia is known for things like the Fraser Canyon, you know, which is really spectacular drive to come, so...
It's been closed quite a bit this year, so you're...
So the repair work that they're doing, 90% of it is over now. There's only one part where they had that huge avalanche, you know, because of the weather, where they're building a new bridge where it's still one-way traffic. But this time of year, there's hardly anybody traveling on it. So it was like a breeze drive yesterday, you know, so really nice. Dry roads, you don't have to worry about snow and... And you enjoy the scenery. I mean, I stop a few times just to take in how pretty it is. So.
We travel that highway quite a lot.
Right.
Before the Coquihalla, it was the only...
Yes, it was the only way, yes. But,
yeah,
correct.
It's very nice.
And even after the Coquihalla, I believe Coquihalla was told in the beginning, so people still take the canyon. I remember it was Gordon Campbell, I think, who stopped the tolls on Coquihalla when he got elected.
Right.
If my memory serves me right, so.
Yeah, it was $10.
Yeah, it was $10,
right,
yeah.
And then one day they were gone.
Yeah, they were gone. He's the one who it was an election promise of his, and
that's, right.
That's how he stopped it, so.
We'd always get excited for the tunnels on the...
Yeah,
the
that's right, yes, yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but even just the scenery is just too spectacular, you know. And now some of the mountains have snow on them. I mean, a lot of them are still bare, but some of them have snow and it really looks pretty. Like, I think the area near Hell's Gate, that has some snow now on the opposite, you know, mountain.
What was it like to drive through Lytton?
Unless you go into Lytton, you don't really see Lytton because the highway just bypasses, you know, Lytton. It is a turn off if you want to go into the town. So I've not been in. I've seen pictures on television that it still needs a lot of, you know, building. But one kind of understands what happened just given the ruggedness of the whole area. I mean, that's really rugged, nature that, you know, you're living in. And you're really exposed to, you know, all the elements. So...
One little spark.
Yes, one little spark, unfortunately.
You mentioned that all your spices come from India. So is everything directly imported from India?
Yeah, so it comes to wholesalers or importers on the coast, either in Vancouver or in Toronto. And from there we order and then it gets shipped to us in a pallet.
Is there an Indian community that like to come here and are happy that you're...
Yeah, so interestingly enough, the Indian community is growing here. I think there are only about 500 of them so far from what I gather. And so it's been a slow trickle that, you know, they come in, they're still discovering it. A lot of them have family in Kelowna and so they tend to source a lot of their groceries from there. Simply because, you know, Indian families are much bigger. And so they like to buy bulk packs. People came in here, asked me, do you have a 20-pound bag of, you know, this particular flour? And I said, no, because it's too much to carry. So my focus has really been the local sort of, you know, Canadian community, which is like 19,500 out of the 20,000. And they like things in smaller packs, which is what my focus has been. So the Indian community does, it's a slow trickle. They buy some of their favorite snack food, so that they buy a lot from here. But some of the traditional groceries like flour, lentils, they like to buy bigger packs. So they tend to go to Kelowna or the Lower Mainland and buy it from there. So.
That's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
Would never have thought that.
But that's because they want bulk packs. And it's too small a community to carry too much of a bulk pack. But they come in, like I said, I carry all their favorite snack food. So that they come in for all the time. So, yes.
What sort of things are snack food in India?
So snack food in India is anything that's ready to munch. Okay. Indians love things fried. Okay. And a lot of the snack food is different fried offerings with mixtures. So they like mixtures. So here you might want to just have some, you know, peanuts. They'll say, no. With peanuts, we want some rice flakes. We want some fried dumplings. We want some fried chickpea flour. We want some nuts. We want to put some potato. and then different spices with it. So that's what they like to munch on, okay? And they pretty much munch all day long. They could be having this with, you know, their morning tea. They'd have it with their evening 4 p.m. tea snack. And sometimes they'll want to munch it if, you know, they're watching like a movie or a series at home, Netflix or something. So Indians like to munch. And so there's a huge variety. And again, I've tried to cater to different parts of India. So I have things which are, again, from East India, from West India. The most popular Indian snack, of course, and I have three varieties of it, is this thing called kurkure, which is made from corn flour. It's a corn snack and it's spiced at different levels. So there's a coriander spice to it. There's a red chili spice to it. And that's the fastest moving, you know, that everybody buys. And the brand is owned by Pepsi. And Pepsi has started making it in Canada now. But they don't like the Canadian version because they've tempered down the spice. They like the ones which come imported from India because they have the original spice flavor on it. So that's what actually does quite well.
Pepsi.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it just seems odd.
Well, Pepsi came into India almost, I would say, 30 years now, 40 years. And they've really got into, you know, the Indian sort of snack food business. So they own all the top Indian snack food brands now. And of course, they make them to their taste. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's Pepsi. Like even the colas we have. Mm-hmm. So these three, Thumbs Up, Limca and Fanta, which is your Coke, lemonade and your orange. These were Indian brands. And then Coke bought them over about 15 or 20 years ago. And so in India, you get Coke and you get Thumbs Up and people drink Thumbs Up. They don't drink Coke. Yeah. And we have a lot of people who come here locally and they buy this and they say, yeah, this is how cola used to be, you know. So the Indian versions are a little more fizzier versus, you know, nowadays it's pretty toned down. It's pretty, Coke is pretty flat. Whereas this one really has the fizz in it. So, yeah. So these are very popular. And then, of course, the mango lassi is very popular, so.
Like a yogurt drink?
Yeah, like a yogurt smoothie, mango yogurt smoothie. But the Indian version. So it's not as thick as a smoothie is. It's a little more watered down. But this is what, you know, they like.
When exactly did you decide to open the store? I mean, you opened in November, but when was your first decision that you said...
Oh, actually, my first decision was around May or June. And I was really bugging Jim Grieve, you know, who's my realtor. Like, find me a space. And we almost came close twice to getting something. It didn't happen. And then he said, don't worry, be patient. You know, something will happen, especially towards the end of summer. You know, some businesses decide to shut down just after summer. So I got wind that Sephora was winding down here. So Jim called me, he says, you know what, go take a look and see if you like the space. And then he introduced me to Bill Laird, you know, who's the landlord. And they've been wonderful and they said, yeah, sure. And so finally it happened. So
I don't know if you know the history here. We were just talking with a previous renter.
Yeah.
Because this used to be a music store.
This one? I thought, or including the next door one?
The next door one was this one.
Oh, was this one? They moved next door to a bigger store.
They bought the building and moved next door and then rented this out. I can't remember who was here before Sephora.
It was Sephora for almost 10 years.
Yeah, that long.
Yeah, because Veera, who was the previous, mm-hmm. was a Sephora owner, yeah. She told me she ran it for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And before that, she took it over from someone who ran it for another 5.
Who designed all the interior here? Was this yours?
So this was done by Sephora. I believe the renovation was done by Veera when I think she first moved in, and then some of it was done gradually. And I really liked the layout and it suited me perfectly, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was able to just adapt to it. And, you know, apart from the fixtures, the only additions were the freezer and the cooler. That's it.
It worked out well.
It worked out really well. Good. Yes, absolutely.
plans for the future? Expansion within the store? Because I see an empty wall.
Yeah, so I plan to bring in some very nice cotton bags from India, which is more a summer thing. So they're here already, but I want to sell some really nice cotton bags. A lot of them are fair trade as well. And then the next step is we're onboarding at Zest. So we want to offer some pre-cooked Indian food ready to eat, both in terms of a takeaway. Like if you want a butter chicken, you can just take away a butter chicken or a few other Indian dishes. Or if you wanted like a lunch meal, then, you know, a two tray, just a little bit of rice and a little bit of curry, which you can just heat in the microwave and eat. So, and then we want to participate in the farmers market, especially in the summer, and bring in some, you know, locally cooked Indian food and some samosas and things like that.
Samosas.
Yeah, that's the plan.
When we first started the conversation, you mentioned something about working with immigrants.
Uh-huh.
So are you still doing that?
Yeah, very much. So I'm a licensed recruiter for foreign workers in BC, and I bring in workers for specific industries, mostly manufacturing, construction, hospitality, and retail. These are my four focus areas, and a little bit of healthcare. Last year, I brought in almost 30 nurses from all over the world for a facility on Vancouver Island in the Comox Valley. So essentially that, yes. In fact, that's what first got me to Salman Arm, is my clients who needed people here. As you know, there's a labor shortage, you know, in Salman Arm. So that's what first got me here.
Are you connected with the Immigrant Society?
So the Immigrant Services Society does the after job, after the workers show up here. Then what do they need? Do they need English lessons? Do they need, you know, some help within the community for resources? So they actually play the after role. They're not really involved in the process of trying to bring people here. So, yeah. So they're here to service, you know, new immigrants or new workers that come in. And there are a lot of them coming, you know, for different businesses here already. So
I think this area has always had foreign workers for orchards and whatnot.
Yes, yeah. Okanagan has always had foreign workers for their farms. But for specific jobs like hospitality, retail, construction, that's just starting to come. So
is coffee popular in India?
In South India, yes. So there's an area of South India that actually grows coffee. It's more powdery version of it. But the three states of South India, they do drink coffee, yes. Particularly the Bangalore area. That's where coffee is really popular. Yeah.
Do you sell any coffee here?
No, we don't.
No.
We don't. Yeah, I haven't seen any interest. The interest has been in Indian tea. So we have a really nice mix of Indian tea. Some plain, some, you know, with spices. So three most popular are cardamom, ginger, and the masala tea bags, or what here they call as chai tea. So those have been really, really popular.
Are those tea bags? Or
yeah, we have them both loose and in tea bags, yes. Depending on how you like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything you can think of
that you'd like to talk about?
No, I'm just very happy and pleased to be in Salman Arm. And it's very heartening to be welcomed by the community as a whole. And I still believe a lot more people have still to come. So yeah, I would invite all of them to come down. And we are on social media as well. So we are on all the Facebook, groups, Shoe Shop, and, the Salman Arm, Raven Rant, and the food community, plus you're on Instagram, so I believe they're pretty good following of social media here. But through your radio, I'd like to invite everyone to come down, come discover, you know, the diverse taste of India, and we have a lot of goodies for everybody to sample and taste. So yeah,
great.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome.